Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be free? You wanna be free? are listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your Christian podcast network, and Global Transformation Station.
Hey, man, this is Every Man Standing in His Place. This is Friday, and it's November 27th. We are just trying to open up in a different way on Every Man Standing in His Place. But we have a special program this evening. I have a good friend of mine with me, my brother in Christ and fellow minister, and his name is Minister Kelly Jones. And you know, sometimes we talk about things, you know, the way that we talk about things the way that God gives them to us. And in a conversation that Kelly and myself were having, we were talking about God's grace, and the conversation got to the point where it was so inspiring that was something that we decided to bring to Every Man Standing in His Place tonight. So I want you guys to welcome with me Minister Kelly Jones as he comes in. Hey, Kelly,
Amen.
How are you?
Hey, hi everybody, Bishop.
Hey, all right, man.
Pastor, how you guys doing?
All right, man.
A lot of people may not know you and I, Jeff. We go back about the number just popped up in my head. I was like, that's got to be almost 30 years now.
yeah, it's about 30 years.
That's amazing.
You know, and out of that 30 years, we wouldn't have never guessed that we would be in this position today. You know,
not at all.
It's because of God's grace. It's only because of God's grace, which that's what we're going to be kind of just conversing about this evening. We're going to be talking about experiencing God's grace. You know,
Amen.
Because sometimes we look at how God gives us grace, and we take it as face value. We take it as just like this is just what it is. But and it's for the surface. But
right.
there's a whole lot in experiencing, in truly experiencing the grace of God.
Amen.
What he's given us with it being that unmerited favor, with it being something that we don't deserve, and something that He gives to us anyway.
Mm.
And then like the song that was just played, you can understand how to truly be free when you understand the grace that God has given you. You know, you can truly be free. And so
right.
You know, I kind of want to have my brother talk about it a little bit, you know, because we were, you know, we had an extensive conversation, and every time we get together like this, it's like we just start going, and before we know it, it's been a couple of hours, and we've dug into the topic so deeply that it's affecting us both as if everything is brand new again. So,
Amen.
Brother, just give some insight to us about this.
Amen. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Thanks for hosting the program and inviting me on. But like I said, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have these particular kinds of discussions. And what you brought up is the basic definition of what we talked about as far as what grace is, and it's God's unmerited favor. Yeah, we say that, and I think over the years, many, many have tried to really get into and explain how that grace works. But I think the Bible is best when it gives just the example of it being on display, you know, and that's the way that we really, that's the best way I found so far to come about it as I preached a message on this a couple of weeks ago, and you can try to define it for a myriad of things. You can try to define it. There's never you'll never be able to say everything about it because it's grace is from God. It reflects His nature, and therefore you'll never be able to say everything there is to say about grace. Just like you'll never be able to say everything there is to say about God. It's going to be impossible.
Right.
But what you can see, what you can understand about grace is seeing it modeled. And I remember we were talking and we were looking back into the earliest examples of when you first saw grace. And, of course, you know, the very first place that you see grace is in the garden with Adam and Eve. But everyone knows the circumstances surrounding what happened in the garden. And one of the most beautiful things yet tragic is the fact that, you know, God had to destroy another one of His creatures in order to clothe Adam and Eve. But even that in and of itself was an act of grace. It was an act of grace. He was the first sacrifice. He performed that. It was a foreshadowing of thousands of years down the line when Christ would eventually make that ultimate sacrifice Himself in order to cover us. You know, so from the very beginning, but then, you know, we were talking about Noah. And we were talking about, you know, the fact that grace is unmerited. Yeah, we understand that. And, you know, but what drives, what was the purpose that God set out to, you know, what was it about these people that He chose in the Bible to say that they had found grace in His sight? And the first place I had seen that example was in the story of Noah. And at that point, my previous question was, well, what did we know about Noah before he had found grace in God's sight?
Nothing. Right.
We didn't know anything.
We knew nothing at all about Noah.
I mean, now way later on in the New Testament, it mentions Noah's name as being a preacher of righteousness. But if you're reading the book from the beginning, you're not going to know that. And there was only one other sentence that I had ever found. And so, you know, this started to really intrigue me because, you know, that's an example of that word, grace, being used in the Bible, you know, before the law was actually written down. I'm not going to say before it existed, but it was before the law was written.
Damn.
So, you know, what you see in there, you know, we talk about it. So, like, grace existed before the Lord came. His grace has always been there. He is eternal. His grace is eternal, right? And every aspect about Him that surrounds that, it's all in eternity past and eternity future.
Amen.
So, you know, a lot of people, they want to make that distinction saying, well, that's Old Testament God. This is New Testament. No, man. No. This is all the one, the only God, you know. And I think what I wanted to center our discussion around was the scripture taking place in Exodus where Moses is on the mountain and he's another person who found grace in God's sight, even though he was a murderer. I mean, and that's the other thing. We knew about Moses' past.
Yeah.
We knew all about what happened. Moses was a murderer, but here he is sitting face-to-face, as it were, and speaking with the God of all creation. You know, and he even says in that particular, I think it's in Exodus 33, it talks specifically about the fact that God said, I'll have mercy on whomever I choose. You know, so that should be enough to get it started right there. It's just like, I'll have mercy on whoever I choose. So it's just like, well, what does that mean? You know, we being these linear beings, we don't have a full understanding of, you know, I mean, we have the thought of linear things going one after the other saying, well, there must be a cause and an effect. But God says, I am the cause. I am the effect. I am.
That's right. He is that he is.
you know, and the thing where it really gets down to is where he says, show me your glory. He says, if I found grace in your sight, show me your glorious presence. And that's when we really get down to understanding what mm-hmm. is at work in, as far as grace is concerned.
Right.
And when he saw the Lord's glory, he walked before him, and he proclaimed his name. And the things that he said really stuck it home for me. You can read about that in Exodus 34, starting with verse 6. It says, the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy.
Uh-huh.
And slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, we're going to hold up right there because, see, that's that point. See that phrase that says unfailing love and faithfulness?
Mm-hmm.
It's a key phrase. We really look at it really, really closely, and you really pay attention to it. That unfailing love, okay, well, has it ever failed? No. Will it ever fail? No. Okay, if God is the same yesterday that he is today, then that means that unfailing love was there from the very beginning and before the beginning. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in his name, in explaining his name, in defining his name, he's saying, this is me. This is who I am. And that grace, that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor, just radiates mm-hmm. all around everything he does, you know. So
yeah,
it was at this point that we were saying that once you experience grace,
mm-hmm.
you understand what it is now. You understand how
right.
it's eternal and the properties that surround God's grace. Now, there's a difference between grace and mercy, but, you know, they're like the flip sides of a coin. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve
mm-hmm.
and can't earn. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. Right?
Come on now.
Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. So now that we have those together and both exist in the Heavenly Father, what we see is that let's dig a little bit more into why Moses was on the mountain at that time in the first place. He had just
right.
given the Ten Commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, and God already told him and reinforced the fact that Moses has found grace in his sight. So Moses goes down the mountain, finds that the Israelites have lost their minds, and they're rebelling against God. So before he even steps fully off the mountain, he smashes the tablets and turns around and goes right back up. You know? I mean, I did some conversation, but basically he's on his way back up, and he says that, you know, I'm going to go back to the Father and ask him
right,
to forgive you. Maybe he will have mercy on you. So it's at this point that we see that the grace that had been extended to Moses.
Uh-huh.
Moses does something amazing. And what it does is it calls back to mind the infinite wisdom of God himself, because Moses turns around and goes back to God.
Right,
and
right.
And asked him to spare the people. Now, I don't know how many, what do you think about that, Jeff? Because I don't know how many examples of that I had seen prior to that. We're still early in the book.
Yeah, very much so. Very much early in the book, and just trying to really understand what do we do with what God gives us. You know, this was a great, and this was like one of the greatest examples, because Moses was, you know, he understood that he didn't deserve it, but and he also understood that somebody else was out of God's will at this time. But
right,
that same
right.
grace that God had extended to him, it was like, you guys have to understand what I understand. You have to know what I know. God will give you what he's given you. He can also, what he's given me, he can also give to you. And so you won't really understand it until it happens to you. So I know that the only way that I can show you is that I have to extend what God has given to me. I have to extend that to you so you can even come to partially understand what God has done for me and what he will do for you. And so Moses had to extend that same grace. Mm-hmm. And so that is a real defining moment in time, because when you are seemingly down to nothing, because Moses was basically at his wit's end because of the simple fact that, you know, he had been gone not for a long time, but when he came back, things were out of order.
Yeah.
You know, and so when things were out of order, who best to go back to put them in order is God. But we have to understand that God wants things. He wants us to do things willingly. He wants us. That's why he gives us the choice. But the thing is that he shows us first by giving us the grace that he gives us. And he says, this is I'm extending. I know you don't deserve it. I know you haven't done anything to earn it. I know that there's nothing that you can do to say that this is supposed to be yours, but I'm going to give it to you because I love you.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And so when God extends that grace, then we have to, it's like showing the same love that God wants, that God shows us.
Right, right. Now, for that, it's one of those points where you jump forward in the Bible and you go all the way to Paul. Right?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And we talked about the fact that this is one of those facets. We're going to get into the facet thing in a second. Another facet of this grace being manifested was with Paul with a thorn. And we always talk about what does a thorn mean? What was the thorn? Well, the thorn's not the most important thing. The most important thing was Paul was given the grace to do the work that God had sent him out to do. He says, my grace is, he asked for the thorn to be removed, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I give you the power to achieve what I have sent you, specifically sent you to do. Now, this is, now back to Moses. This is that same grace. Back to Moses, this is the same grace, because he's saying, Lord, would you please cover these people? Would you please forgive these people? And like I said, you look at the wisdom, the infinite wisdom that God had when he chose Moses to do that particular thing, because he knew how Moses would respond.
Exactly, exactly.
He knew how Moses would respond. And as he responded that way, basically what we see is grace is being multiplied. Grace is being multiplied. We talk about multiple, you know, grace being multiplied, but we don't really understand what does that mean? What does that mean, grace is multiplied? What does that mean, his mercies are new every morning? What does it mean? It means that as we go, as we move forward and we shine the light of grace on people, that we might understand that God does not look at them the same way that we look at them, that God sees them and says, I know you don't deserve this, you're undeserving of this, but I'm going to give you this grace. And when we look at people, when we see people the way God sees them, and we pass that grace on, and they experience it, and then the light comes on in their hearts, and they start to understand more about who God is, and then they go out and they do the same thing. We become those vessels.
Exactly.
We become those vessels of God's grace in order to multiply it in the world, because we're all his children. It takes all of us, and we said this earlier today, it takes all of us to be able to understand any of him.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we are all a part of the body of Christ, because it takes all of us. It takes all of us. You know, and understand it. You know, the only way we can truly understand and be effective with the grace that God has given us is to truly experience it. To truly experience it, and that means to recognize and realize where God has brought us from, that we've all come from somewhere, that there's something that we haven't always been on that right side or on God's side, because of the simple fact that what happened is God has to allow a change to come into our heart. And see, we see that when you were talking about Paul, when he was when he had the thorn in his flesh, but even before then, he had to go through his transformation. He had to go through his change, and God saw fit to give him grace because of the simple fact that he was one that was totally opposite of the gospel. He was
right.
He was, you know, shut that down. Go ahead.
Well, it was one of those things that, you know, he used Paul, and he came to Paul in his own person. He came. People didn't try to minister to Paul, as far as we know. Jesus Christ himself ministered to Paul. He says, it is I who you persecute. So he had a special anointing to be able to go forward and carry that message. But, you know, when we look at that, it brings on this idea that Paul used to be an enemy of God. Used to be an enemy of God. He used to be an enemy of Christ in the work that was trying to be that he was accomplishing at the time. And it brings me to another important point. We were talking about enemies, and we were talking about people who, you know, our enemies, and having difficulty with enemies, and how that plays back into grace. Is that to start off with the topic of saying, yeah, you want to be the person that says, oh, I hate what the Lord hates. I love what the Lord loves. Well, you know what? I understand that sounds nice.
Yeah,
nice. And it's probably very, very true that you would want to be that person. But the whole question is, we don't really know enough about that to know who your enemies are.
Right.
We don't know enough about that.
We
were talking about yesterday. So, okay, so you say you got some enemies, right? You sure about that? Okay, point them out.
Who are they?
You know, your enemy is the enemy. Your enemy does not necessarily have to be that person, because you have no idea what they really think about you, or what they're really dealing with, or the mitigating circumstances. There's just a plethora of information that you just don't have to be making those kinds of judgments. That's why God tells you not to judge.
Right.
You don't know.
Right. Because
you don't know,
that's, yeah, that's why we're supposed to treat everybody with love, because we don't know. We just
don't know.
We're not sure.
You don't really know, and that brings us back to that, and this is I love this conversation because it revolves. It's gonna go over to loving your neighbor. Okay, we started all the way from grace, then we've gone to what we're talking about is loving your enemies versus loving your neighbors. Loving your enemies and treating them good, despite the fact that they use you. We're talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And, you know, the community effort that it takes to do that, you know, there's so much involved in that. We'll say, well, we think we know what it means to love God. Okay. And the Lord said the second commandment is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's problematic because most of us really don't know how to love ourselves. We don't know what that means.
Right.
We don't know what that means. You know, I mean, you could say, okay, here's how you lay it down. Do you lie to God? You might. You know, it's not your intention. Do you lie to yourself? All the time. You know, it's like, well, we got this whole cake here. That cake's not going to eat itself.
That's right.
Yeah, you thought you were loving yourself when you ate it. Well, I'm not going to get into that. Especially we fresh off of Thanksgiving, and then that whole deal isn't even done
yet. Yeah, talking about food. Huh? No.
But, you know, but I'm just saying all of the things that we do to ourselves that harm ourselves, that bring harm to ourselves, we really know. You know, but we need to be more introspective about that. When we don't lie to ourselves, we protect our lives. We continue to feed ourselves and clothe ourselves if we're able to the best of our ability. And these are the things that we need to do for our neighbors, because these are the things that we've been commanded to do by God.
Right. Exactly.
We're supposed to love them. So in all of that, you really don't have any time to be overly concerned about who your enemies are. There's no time for it.
Right, right. And also, it's not even the fact that we're commanded to, but because God so he loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we should know that the love that we should share should be the same love that God has given us.
And what's
you
that
know?
Love?
And see that's the thing, you know, that's love without even being concerned about reciprocation, without
being
judgmental, without all you know.
It's unconditional love we're talking about, right?
Exactly, exactly. That's what it is. It's unconditionally. And if
would you say it was undeserved?
Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere.
Would you say it was undeserved?
Now, if we see the thing is that if we love everyone that deserves it, it's easy to love somebody that's going to love you back.
Yeah, but
it's
what's
easy,
that?
You know. But the thing is that the challenge, when the challenge is there, can you love somebody in spite of? Can you love somebody when they don't do what you want them to do? Can you love somebody? You know, that's the thing. If you can love through the hard times. You know, God is looking at, look, I loved you before you even accepted me. I gave my only begotten son before you even accepted me so that you would just have the opportunity to accept me. Now, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
We have to think like that. I love you because God loved me. I love you, and I'm going to treat you as my neighbor, and I'm going to love you as I love myself, even before I have any type of interaction with you, because you're a child of God, just like I'm a child of God, and we're supposed to love one another. I'm supposed to love you regardless.
Right, and you see what you get with that is that relationship that we're starting to build. Through the relationship that you're learning more about God, and now you're starting to treat people as God would have you treat them. So you're extending that unconditional, undeserved love to other people. There's that grace again.
There's that grace again. There it is. There it is. There's that grace
there it
again.
There it is. What you find is that you find that God's grace is woven in between the fabric of our very existence in every facet. We talked about it yesterday, Wednesday. We talked about it that it's like a diamond the size of a golf ball.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, and it's got all of these hundreds. I think I've seen maybe one or two diamonds or pictures of diamonds like that in my life. It's a round diamond, and it's a sphere, and it's got little tiny facets on it. And the wonderful thing about God's grace is that no matter how many times you turn it around, the light will catch it different from every angle. But you see it in a different light every time you turn it, but it's still the same grace. Right?
The same grace. The same grace. It's coming at a different angle, a different light. You see it differently. But it's what? It's still God's grace.
It's still God's grace. And let me tell you something. I relayed this experience. I was talking about the fact that You know, I had someone, I had an experience with someone not long ago who was, I was very angry with them over something that they had said. And, man, it was difficult. It was difficult because at the time, you know, I had to get over the way I felt about it.
Uh-huh.
And I started praying to the Lord, and we're talking about having grace in the middle of adversity. You know, grace in the middle of adversity, because it's, you know, being human beings, we're going to have these emotions, we're going to have these feelings, we're going to be tempted to have these responses, and we have to fight with those sometimes. But you know what? Like the song was saying earlier, and it really caught on with that, was that, you know, do you want to be free?
Yeah,
do you want to be free?
Yeah.
Do you want to have freedom? And what I immediately jumped to was, I think, Proverbs 18:10, where it says, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. And
yes,
the whole point is that, you know, when you're experiencing difficulty in loving people the way you know you should, you just go to God. Go to the Father.
Go to the Father.
You know? You go to the Father, and a lot of times we think that, you know, we're supposed to master our emotions. We're supposed to have the self-control. Yeah, but the Bible tells you that God gives you the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you the Holy
That's
Spirit.
That's right.
You know, of power and love and self-control or a sound mind. It still
mm-hmm.
comes from Him. So why would you try to go to your own resource when you can constantly go to the source?
The source. That's right. That's right.
You go to the source, not the resource.
Yeah. And the Bible says, you know, the Bible says, because if we could control how we felt about things, then we would, the Bible wouldn't have said, you know, that we could be angry and sin not. It's not the fact that you are angry, because God understands that we get emotional, but the fact is, our calling is greater than our feeling. Our calling, we are not called to be emotional. We're called to be obedient to God's word. And so the emotion is to be angry, but the obedience comes when it says to sin not.
Not. Right. Right. Right.
And
it's like, you
and
know,
so that
it's not the...
Is, that is the thing right there. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand that in doing that means that you might be angry at somebody for what they said or what they've done or whatever it is, but the sin not part is extending that grace.
Right.
That
and
grace
see, it's,
that
it's,
that we've experienced, you
and
know.
Let me show you, like, when you're still in the middle of it, when you're still in the middle
mm-hmm.
of it, because I really paid attention to this entire journey that I was on. Because, you know,
uh-huh.
I had these feelings that were bottled up, and what happened was I went to the Father and I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want to feel like this. You know, I really can't even put into words. I'm at the point whereas I don't have a positive way to respond right now other than to come to you. Can you tell me, please, what I should do now? And there was a word, and I just went, you know, looking for the word. I prayed, and I went looking for the word, and I came to some verses in Psalms where David was talking about escaping those that were following him and chasing him down and that were seeking his life. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was all wonderful. It's like, you know, God, please come to my rescue. Please come to my aid. And then all of a sudden, David made a left turn, and it'd be like, and smite my enemies and cast them down. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hold on. I mean, I know I'm mad, and I know David was in his spot at the time, but I'm not that angry. I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I want to go down that road. This is, you know, this is not where. Because I was wondering, it's like, why does God have me reading this right now? You know. So, and I believe fully that He did it to illustrate a point, because it was at that point I said, well, Lord, I don't agree with those feelings. He says, so you're not that angry. And I said,
right,
no.
Right.
I said, no, I'm not that angry. He says, okay. So you're asking that, you know, I should give you help and give you the word. And well, what did my word say you know, about loving your enemies. And I said, okay. He says, well, before, this is what happened before. He says, you spent a couple of weeks ago preaching about grace and how you are supposed to share it or extend it in order to fully experience grace. You know that because I told you that. I said, yeah. He says, well, okay, well, what does grace look like being extended at this point? What does it look like?
Yes, sir.
Since you know what the word says, you know what my word says, what does it look like? Okay, I'll make it easy for you. What did I say in the form of Jesus? He says, what did I say in the body about your enemies? He said, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. And what I came to understand was this was the hard part of living through the lesson that I had to teach. And it was coming from a different perspective. It was the diamond turned in another direction. You see, this is still grace.
This is still grace.
You know, so I had to go and extend that grace, and I could have responded to the person in one way or another, but after I had that talk with God and God showed me in the Word, whereas this is how you're supposed to respond, then that's the way I responded. And the next thing you know, the situation was over. Did I need it to be resolved with that person? No, it wasn't important. It wasn't about them. It was about me having the right response. It was about me showing the love of God. It was about me showing God's grace and experiencing it fully by extending it. You know what I'm saying? He was looking at me.
That's, you know? That's right. You know, and that's the one thing that we really, you know, really have to understand. It is about our relationship with God. But our relationship with God can affect how others see God.
Come on now.
You know,
come on now.
If we don't extend that grace at a time such as what you did, they may look at God a total different way because of our reaction.
Right.
You know,
they know who you are.
Or what we did or what we've done. You know, we could be the thing that would turn someone away from God.
That's right.
Because of,
that's right.
You know, and like we were talking about testimonies, you know, testimonies. Do we want to have a testimony that's going to that's going to bring someone, that's going to draw someone to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want
mm-hmm.
our testimony to be something that's going to turn someone away
mm-hmm.
from Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you see,
how we come through our situation, like what you did. You prayed. You went to the Word of God. You listened to what the Lord was saying to you through prayer and through Scripture, and you understood that, and you were obedient to God's Word. You were obedient to what He was telling you to do. You didn't allow your feelings or how you felt to override anything. You said, "I'm going to be obedient to Your Word, even if it makes me look like I'm doing the wrong thing. I know that I'm doing the right thing because I prayed about it. I know I'm doing the right thing because I've read your word about it, and you've divided the word and you brought it into my heart. You actually brought the word into my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I'm going to do
right.
what your will is. I'm going to do what your word says. I'm going to do what you called me to do, not what anger wants me to do, not what anything else wants me to do, but what you want me to do, God." And that
right,
is
because,
that is the whole thing. And it's easy to say. It's easy to say.
That's right.
But when you're in it,
it's not that easy.
When you're
see,
in
the,
it,
the most important thing is, about that situation is, well, we have to wonder, well, where does the enemy come in? Because we're talking about, you know, this is, you know, can you identify your enemies? And this, I didn't
right.
want to see this person as my enemy. The person wasn't the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have the same belief that I have. They may not. I know they don't know God like I know God. You know, they know Him
mm-hmm.
Possibly a different way, but not the way that I know Him. So you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't go based off of that and then automatically call a person just because they don't know God your enemy, because you don't know that. Matter of fact, an enemy, you know, you don't want an enemy just to be, you know, that anyone could fit that description. But the question is, well, where does the enemy step in if you've been damaged in this particular way and you're looking to have to try to get beyond it? I'm going to tell you where the enemy is. The enemy is trying to tell you, react, don't go pray. That's your enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You see
That's
what I'm
right.
saying? React,
That's right.
don't go and pray, don't go to God or you know, stuff your face or take a drug or have a drink
mm-hmm.
or, you know, anything
mm-hmm.
that puts you off from going to the throne.
Right.
That thought,
right.
That you know, that calling inside to pull you away from God, that
mm-hmm.
is the enemy.
That is
That's
the enemy.
Enemy. Okay? The other thing is nothing but a situation that involved another person.
right. It involves another
person.
You
away from God.
And what does
yeah.
the word say? Our battle is not against what?
Flesh and
blood.
See, this is the thing that we don't understand. We don't put those things, like we were talking about, when we understand on a surface level what those verses mean, but
right.
You don't really know about them until you have to put them into practice, until they're called before you, until the situation pops up. Because you and God is a majority, and you can handle this if you go speak to God. But if something throws you off track from going to God, now the flow is interrupted. Now the flow of God's grace is interrupted to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, but if you do go to God, He'll multiply that grace within you. And here's where the freedom comes in. Here's where the freedom comes in. Because you don't have to decide exactly how you're going to get back at this person.
Right.
You don't
right.
have to decide. You don't have to cook up plans and cook up schemes. No, you are free from all that, because once you go to God and say, God, I'm leaving it in your hands, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to be obedient. That's freedom in Christ. That's freedom in God's grace to be able to say, okay, God, you handle it the way you see fit. Meanwhile, I'm just going to radiate and multiply this grace back to this person, and that's going to be the end of that. And whatever comes as a result of that from this point on, it's not my concern.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
It's not my
that's
concern.
Right.
Okay, God knows who His enemies are better than you. And I'm not going to be the one to point a finger at somebody and say, you're going to be my enemy today. Is it going to be somebody else tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, what's your calendar looking like? You know, you want to put somebody
right,
in
right.
for an enemy slot tomorrow morning at 4, you know, at 9 o'clock? What you got going on? No, you don't know any of that. You know, if you just go with the grace of God that He has given you, you know, you can meet
right.
those situations, even in, and this is the other good one, when it's back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
When someone came to me one day and basically they came at me as if I were their enemy, and it completely caught me off guard because I had no idea this was going on. I was just like, what? I don't feel that way at all. You know, like I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, there was a situation that occurred, and I had to explain to the person, well, so, well, this wasn't because of you, and you know, this has nothing to do with you.
Aye.
This was a
Aye.
Whole other thing, and, you know, this was meant to be and meant to happen, but it didn't involve you. So, you know, please don't make me to be an enemy of yours, because that's not how I feel about you. You know what I mean? That's not what's in my heart. And so even in that situation where someone looked at me as an enemy, I knew to go to God's grace and be like, let me pass this grace on to you. Let me pass the grace on to you, because, you know, I know I'm being falsely accused, but I'm still not going to look at you as the enemy. I'm
I don't see you as I don't see you as you see me. I see you as God wants me to see you. And
right.
the way that He wants me to see you is to extend that grace. That's
right.
the way that He wants me to see you. You know, and sometimes we get, you know, we get to the point where we will think that someone is our enemy, you know. But the fact of the matter is, that same person that you can call an enemy with a different situation. You can call a friend, and that's not how God designed it to be. To whereas it would be that, you know, that a situation can make you love somebody or not like somebody. The fact of the matter is that it's not about the person being your enemy. The situation can be the enemy. The situation that's causing whatever it is, you can get past that situation as long as you still have a connection with the person. In other words,
you can't let your circumstances define the relationship.
Exactly. The circumstances cannot define the relationship at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, just understanding that, and knowing that that God's grace is what it is, and it says, well, God's grace is what's sufficient. You know, it's sufficient for all things, you know.
To do what he wants us to do.
Talking about the thorn in Paul's flesh, when he asked mm-hmm. three times that it be removed. God said no, he's not going to remove it because what? His grace is sufficient.
It's sufficient. You know, it's like it doesn't. There, you know, a lot of times there were people that, if we have to talk about it, we can talk about it. A lot of people think that there may have been some physical sort of malady. There may have been some other things that might have brought that whole situation on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a lot of us, we can look at our thorn in the flesh as being the old man or being memories of
mm-hmm.
what the old man had done. You know,
you remember
Paul was present when Stephen was killed.
Right.
Paul held the cloaks of the men that stoned him. Right? So
yeah,
I mean,
and he
knows he was forgiven, but could he forget about that? Probably not.
Right. That's how we can remember that God's grace is sufficient. I can't forget about it, but God has given me grace. God is not
mm-hmm.
holding that
mm-hmm.
against me. Moses
That's
said,
right.
yeah, okay, I have, I was a murderer, and I can't take that back, but God has given me grace. I remember what I did, but God is giving me grace for that, and it's something that I didn't deserve because what I did was wrong.
Right.
You know you didn't deserve it. But the thing is that God saw fit to say what you were is what you were, but now that you are on this side, you are on my side. I can use you for the uplifting of the kingdom. I can use you for the betterment or helping somebody else to understand even before they get to the depth that you were. You can help somebody else get to know me before they get the chance or the opportunity to become that the same murderer that you were.
That's right. You can nip that in the bud. I'm going to use you as my instrument in order. I'm going to use you as my vessel to carry this forward so that you can prevent so many other people from going, look how many lives I'm saving through you. Look how many souls I'm saving through you. And we may never know the full extent of the impact that we have on another person's life. That doesn't mean that any one of them is small, because for each and every one of us, I mean, even Abram, at the point where his name was before it became Abraham, even Abram entertained
mm-hmm.
the Lord himself without fully understanding that he was in the company of angels at the time and the Lord himself at the time. But when he came around and he started to figure it out, he's like, you know, if I have found grace in your sight, my
yes.
Lord, do not pass me by.
Right,
please come in.
Right.
You don't know the impact. And what did he do? He ministered to them. He brought them something to eat. He gave them something to drink. And what did he do? He was just radiating the grace that he had already been given.
Amen.
You know,
immediately,
here's a trippy part about it. Immediately after that is when God started pronouncing his blessings.
Man.
You see that? He's like, you're gonna have a son. I'm gonna bless the world through you, and you know, and mm-hmm. you know, by this time next year, Sarah's gonna have a baby. And, you know, everything. As soon as he did that, boom. I mean, it's not conditional per se. It wasn't conditional, but it's just the
right.
point that, you know, it's the order that it was set in that really caught
order
my
that it
attention.
Was set in.
Right? The order caught my attention. I'm like, wow, as soon as he did this, then look what happened.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, in some cases, it's an immediate thing where we get to see God's grace radiated back to us, and sometimes it's not so quick. But, you know, at the end of the day, if the most important thing you can do is share the love of God with someone who may or may not know him simply by being the person that he wants you to be.
Amen.
Oh,
that's
amen.
If you could just do
man.
That, if you could
that's
just
right.
do that, you're expecting the world in so many more ways than you'll ever know. You know?
Amen.
You're doing more than you'll ever know.
That's right, brother. And I, you know, this has been such a great time talking and conversing with you on this. And you know, I'm praying that someone has got a new understanding or a deeper understanding than they've had before. And before I go any further, we usually start out with a word of prayer, and I neglected to do that duty, so I want to say a prayer now. Our Father and our God, we come to you right now just thanking you for this evening. We thank you for all that was done and said. We pray that it was pleasing in your sight, Father God. We ask that you just continue to be with us and guide us, guide our minds, our hearts, guide our tongues to say the right things, Father God. We just want to lift you up in all our ways. We want to acknowledge you and continue to allow you to direct our path. Father God, we just pray for this. We pray for this this service today. We pray for this meeting today, Father God. We just thank you for giving us everything to say and do. And Father God, we just want to continue to lift you up and magnify
yes,
you in all that we
magnify your name.
In Jesus'
yes.
name we pray. Amen.
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 And so now, if anyone has any questions or comments or anything, I'm going to turn it over to Bishop Cook so she can direct you further in what to do. Amen.
Amen, and to God be the glory. What a wonderful conversation that we were privy to on this evening. If you are in the studio and you would like to make a comment or you have a question or simply encourage the men of God, if you would simply press your 1 at this time, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. We do have what I call my dignitaries, our dignitaries in the house. We do have Deacon Braxton in the house, Brantley in the house, and we have Mother Mattie in the house, and we have many of others in the house. So, but if anyone would like to make a comment, please just press your 1. I just want to tell both of you gentlemen that you did a phenomenal job this evening. If you're in the chat room and you would like to say something to either gentleman, either of the pastors, then be so kind as to type that, and I'll relay that to them. Yes, ma'am, Mother Mattie. Good evening.
Good evening, Bishop Cook. Good evening, Pastor Scott, and to the other pastor. Good evening. God
good
bless
evening.
You all. God bless everyone that's listening, Deacon Bradley, and everyone. Father God, who is the head of my life, King Jesus, who is the head of my life, I give all honor, all praise, and all glory to my Heavenly Father. God bless you, young men. God bless you. God bless
you.
The word that you
bless you.
God bless you for your wisdom. God bless you for enlightening us, because you can never get enough of God's word. You can never get enough
that's
of
right.
the gospel.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Every time you listen to
Amen.
The gospel, you get more wisdom and you're more enlightened. Each time
yes,
you listen
ma'am.
To God's word, you get more wisdom each time.
Amen.
Your the words that you spoke was right on time. We're living in some dangerous, perilous times right now, and we
that's
you know
true.
we need Father God. We need them. We need look like we need them more than ever, and we definitely stand on God's word because. Jesus is coming back. Jesus coming back
yes,
for his
he is.
Church. And it's not the structure building. His church is his saints. And Jesus coming back to judge the world. So we as his saints, we have to pray without ceasing. We got to stay in the word. We got to be ready. Because Jesus is going to come like in the night. No man knows the hour. So we just have to stand. So we have to stand still, unmovable, and steadfast, you know, and know that God is God. And you know, just you know, just whatever it is that may be going on in our lives that may not be good.
Amen.
Thank you, Mother
Matthew. We have to be about our Father's business right now.
Yes, we
God
really need to be
all.
About our Father. God bless you, Mother Matthew.
God bless
you.
Deacon, I love you all. I love you all.
We
love
you,
too.
We love you, too, so very much. Deacon Bradley, sir, you are you're in the room. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bishop. And
evening.
To God be the glory. And just glad to hear your voice one more time. And give an honor to the ministers of the night. I enjoy this so much. But I guess I see life as an older person in this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this journey in Christ Jesus, which is our Savior, we can make it kind of hard, and
yeah,
then we
yeah.
can make it, we can, you know, when we think back, it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But our lives, our Christian lives, and our Christian journey is just like a baseball player. The minute that he decide this is going to be his life, he has to go through training. He knows the pitches that he can throw, and he knows how to hit. He knows how to serve his body well to win. And he knows his strength. He knows how to run, how long he can run. What I'm trying to say, if we, our Bible, through life, patterns that Jesus showed, and they are simple patterns, Mother Nature
mm-hmm.
patterns, that's what a Christian has to do. He's got to know where first base is. He's got to know how to get there. He's got to know how to run. He's got to know if when he hit the ball, if it's a single, a double, or a triple, or it's an out. So that's what we have to do. We have to stay in touch. We are in Jesus, so we stay in touch with ourselves. And then we know the process. We don't like the pastors were saying, you know, you don't know what every man has a feeling about you.
Yeah.
But you know your position in life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know when a person walk in the room, if you don't feel him and he come in not with the true spirit of God, you recognize that. Thank God for all. Yeah, you got to give up some. You got to go through some things. Thank God, Paul. Thank God for the lesson. But we need to live our life with a parable. Understand what we are doing on this Christian journey, and you're gonna live to get 85 like I am.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
I receive that blessing.
I receive that, and I'm going to tack on to what Deacon Bradley first said. First of all, I just want you all to know, for those of you that don't know, the both of these pastors, they are my brothers. They are my younger brothers, and I adore them. And I walk with them. You know, this is not just a radio thing. You know, we met. We hang out. You know.
We're family.
We're family. You know what I mean? And so I just want you to know how blessed I was by your conversation on grace tonight. And I just want to, especially for our young people in the chat rooms, one of the easiest ways to ensure that you are walking in grace is to remember this. Never make demands or put conditions on your love or your relationships that you wouldn't want God to place on you.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now.
That's right.
Come on now.
Never
How
do
you
that.
Gonna reflect it? How you gonna reflect
you know,
it? He didn't put no conditions on you.
Exactly. So you know, never ever do that. We have a lot of Christians that say, "Oh, I love the Lord." But they do, as Deacon Brantley has said, they doing a lot of extra stuff. They make it really hard. They getting extra. They were extra before the term extra.
Extra was extra.
Was extra, okay? You know, they've been extra for a while. But I praise God for his grace. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. It is that unmerited favor, hallelujah, that he dispenses. And when we dispense grace to others, we show them the love of God.
That's right. That's right.
We show them the love of God, because that's what grace is, his unconditional love.
That's right.
And you know, wherever Grace is running around, her sidekick Mercy is always right there.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, you know, we need to learn how to be dispensers of grace and mercy.
Yes.
You know, far too often, you know, we say we forgive, sort of, kind of. Like you said, we don't even want to go to the Lord to pray. We don't want to go to our word. We want to have a tune.
Right.
Yes.
But see, God is not looking at our reaction. He's waiting for our response.
Yeah.
When we are going to walk in grace, when we are children of grace and we are walking in grace, we don't fly off the handle. We just don't, you know, we don't let anything or anyone ruin our testimony, as the pastor said. But we respond in a way that's pleasing to God. We respond.
That's right.
Through prayer, we respond from his word. We respond out of obedience to God.
That's right.
Because I tell people quick, that this is a learned process. Like the brother was saying, my little brother was saying, it's learned. Oh, it's learned.
That's right.
Because there are people, you know, every time the saints walk into the church, the enemy walks into the church too. Yeah. He rides in on our shoulders, you know. And he shows up.
I was
to
talking about somebody's hat.
Yeah, really though. Or suit. Or tie. Or deacon prayed too long. Or they don't know why pastor preached that message. You know, they always start stuff. Just ungraciously. But that's the truth.
And don't sit in my seat. I sit there.
Yo, please don't be sitting in my seat because it's going to be on and popping if you sit in my seat.
Up a loud.
Lord,
right?
we can't dispense any grace because we too busy rolling our eyes and popping our lips and blaming folk and talking about each other. When I know, you know, I've been in this world a long time. I know my word says we supposed to love one another, honor one another, you know, accept one another, bear one another burdens. You know, we shouldn't be gossiping about people and stuff.
And you got to remember what James said.
You know, come on now.
James said there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others.
That's
but
right.
If
that's
have,
right.
So
right.
You've been
all
merciful.
Right.
God will be merciful.
All right. All right, because see, people be talking, look, and the main ones that be guilty, you know, like I said, they the ones going to lecture us, you know.
Right.
Like I said, I sure wrote it up on Facebook. I said, please, please, sir, please, ma'am, do not, please, beloved, don't be trying to come and give me a lecture about unforgiveness, about forgiving others. When you walking around passing judgment and walking in unforgiveness in a pair of 15-size shoes.
Oh, better yet, don't take nobody's parking space because it might be a fight.
Yeah. Oh. You know, don't take no parking. Oh, Lord, don't take the parking space. So, see, we got a lot of seed now for those of you who have not thought about ways to be gracious. Look, your brothers and sisters just helped you out. Look, now
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
give them the give them that silly parking place. Let them have the seat.
Yeah.
See, right. We ain't worried about no seat down here in the building. Look, I'm trying to get my seat up there at the table. So in order for me to get my seat at the welcome table in the kingdom,
mm-hmm,
I can give Sister Jenkins her seat down here. Okay?
There you go.
Well, we gotta be careful about
those. If I want to get that seat, you know, if I want to get that parking space in front of my mansion up there in the kingdom, I can let Brother Gordon have that parking space right now.
Yeah. We got to be careful. We got to be a lot more careful about,
you know,
the traditions that we're holding up.
Yes, you know, because you know, because the Lord is not a respecter of person. He extends grace to everybody. You know, and that's what that's where a lot of Christians get caught up. We think we get to pick and choose. We get that Jonah complex. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need no
Not
grace.
Nineveh.
They don't need no salvation. They don't need none of that. Okay, keep it up, and you'll be the one on the down elevator. You know, okay, keep it up. We must be dispensers of grace.
Yeah, we have to remember that grace, the love of God and loving people is anything but traditional.
It is, yeah.
So that's why,
yeah,
we have a hard time trying to hold our traditions at the same time because
you can't.
It's not traditional.
Because God is not in a box and his love is not in a box. So therefore, we can't be in a box. And our grace can't be in a box. Because, see, what is a demonstration of grace for one person may not be a demonstration of grace for another person.
That's right.
Because maybe they didn't need that particular thing. You
at
know?
At that time.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what we got to do is let God be God.
Let God
love
be
on
God.
Others like he loves on us.
Mm-hmm.
Be lovers of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Be
right.
Lovers of holiness and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Be lovers of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, when you really love God and you think about just how much he loves you, and you know you probably just got through doing something you had no business doing like 2 minutes ago. See, you might have not thought it. You know, you might have not said it, but you thought it. You might have not did it, but you said it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. And you thought, oh, I'm good. Didn't nobody hear me? Oh, no, God heard you.
I heard you.
That's right.
Every day I'm praying for that forgiveness.
And he says, when you think it, it's just like, you know, if you think it, you might as well have done it. So if you're sitting up there thinking about gossip, how you would love to go tell sister so and so about sister so and so, but you dispensing grace, you know, you have dispensed nothing. All you doing is deceiving yourself, okay?
Really?
The gracious thing would to do what you not even went there in the first place. You know,
right.
Sometimes we spend too much time having to talk about things that God has already told us, and if we truly love Him, it's built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The love of God, grace is built into that. God's love for us, grace is built in.
Amen.
God's love for us, our salvation is built in.
Hallelujah.
You know,
right.
And if we want the world to know that we're saved, one of the very first things that we need to learn how to do, whether we're called in sin or whether we're not, is to show our lost brothers and sisters grace.
Yes, Lord.
Because, see, I am that sister. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to make you feel less than. I'm not going to shame you, guilt you, manipulate you. Look, that's not what God called me to do. He said, feed his sheep.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
So I am that sister, that I am that man, I am that woman that can have a brother come into church smelling like a brewery. This sister right here will tuck a mint in her palm, tuck it in his hand, and keep it moving.
Amen.
Nobody will see what
Amen.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Young lady come into church, her dress a little bit too short. She's sitting on the front row. I'm not going to fall out in the pulpit. Oh, my God. Look at this girl. Oh, honey, I'm going to go walk over to one of the mothers, get a lap robe, baby, get a lap scarf, walk over to baby girl, drop it on her lap, and keep right on preaching.
Hallelujah.
Never miss a beat.
That's pain.
That's right.
Because, see, I'm not going to talk about it, but what my action says is, I love you even if you don't know how to yet.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to get to. We were talking earlier about, you know, whether or not you know how to love yourself versus loving your neighbor and loving God. And this is that's exactly what I was pointing at right there.
Yes,
exactly
I know.
What I was talking about.
That's right.
Exactly. You know, we're going to love you through. We know you going through some things and everything not right. There was a time when we wasn't right. You know, some of us can still remember. Because for the folks that's up in here tonight, I don't think any one of us ever claimed, even in the 85 years that Deacon Bradley has been living, that we came out the womb Holy Ghost Junior. None of us.
Oh no, we all did some things.
You know, we all done. You know what I'm saying? We all. You know,
falling short.
You know, we've all fallen short because that's what the Word of God says.
Yes.
You know,
that's right.
I have this one preacher got so good, and he got so beside himself one time. He said, Bishop Cook, I don't sin. I backed up a good little ways. I backed up because, you know, I don't particularly like women like folks. You know what I mean. I backed up, but I said, well, I'm sorry, my brother. Your track record is over because you just lied. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You just lied.
Uh-huh.
We all fall short. T.D. Jakes falls short. Joyce Meyer falls short. You fall short. Me falls short. The Pope falls short. Everybody falls short. Okay. And we in need of grace. God,
amen.
Wonderful grace.
Amen.
So I want to thank you, gentlemen, for this wonderful discussion. I just want to let you all know that we are going to be doing some great things in the upcoming year here at Spit Alive. Apostle Zeta Flowers and I have some things that we are working together on to bring before God's people. We are now going to have Pastor Jeffrey. He is going to step up and take over almost complete hosting duties because it's time. I told people a long time ago, I do this so that I can decrease and all of them can increase because I've been preaching a long time. And I like to sit back and just listen to the word, basically. And so it's kind of hard to do when you're bringing it all the time. So, you know, it's like I'm just glad. I'm so blessed by the program tonight. I'm just so blessed by all of you that were here, all my young people in the chat room. Please, people, let's show love. Let's be gracious. And I just want to thank God for each and every one of you. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend. And from our house to your house, it is our fervent prayer that each and every one of you continue to be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Amen, family. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Good night.
God bless you.
God bless you all.